Let us come to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, we are before you as we are. We cannot hide who we are, and we are so grateful that you accept us as we are. In that way, you are always willing to teach us something, and we are always willing to learn from you. So we ask you, O God, to give us the wisdom to understand your word, and also to be willing to fulfill your will while we are living in this world, serving you. So we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Listen to the word of God. It's from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while, he refused. But later, he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please don't count this as a part of my sermon. I just want to say hi to everybody. It is a joy to be here. And it is a joy to be here as a family. But in addition to that, I have another family from our group that we have a gathering in the afternoons on Sundays. So Ivan is here. Eleanor, if you want to hear the Spanish version of your name, Eleonora is here. And Luis. So it is a joy to have you here. And I hope you feel at home this morning. So I always put my timer. So if you hear a ring or something, you know what it is, my cell phone. So don't worry about that. Justice is a very difficult thing to talk about. And when I hear this story in the parable, there are many things that come to my mind. First of all, I love the year C of the liturgical calendar. There are years A, B, C, right? But the C one is my favorite because it is always Luke. And Luke is the gospel, my favorite one. That's the thing that I really enjoy to preach from and to talk about. And this is the year C of the liturgical calendar. So Luke is here again, and I love Luke. The language that Luke uses is the language of a person who is not part of the main culture or the main Jewish culture. He's not. He's a foreigner. He's a person who was a Gentile with a very Christian life. And he wanted to learn from his own perspective how to deal with Christianity and how to be a Christian in order to honor God and serve the community where he was involved. So in that sense, I identify with Luke in many areas. I am also an immigrant, and I also a foreigner, and I am trying to speak and preach in a second language. English is not my first language, and every time I preach in English, I'm so nervous. That's why I'm so all the time smiling. And because of that, I see things that Luke is trying to bring to us in order to understand God's purpose. And this is one of the things. First thing, the Bible was not written to you. Remember, the Bible was not written to you. It was written for you. That's different. But there is a gap of over 2,000 years in order to understand concepts that are in the scripture. And these are some concepts I want to share with you from this text, because many times we have heard about this. First of all, it is not common for a woman to come to a judge office. at that time. It is uncommon for a woman, period. Period. Okay? That's the first thing. People are left out of certain circles of life. And unfortunately, in this world, even 2,000 years later, there are still people being left behind because they are different, think different, look different, speak with accent, and move their hands this way. This week, we went with my son to Birmingham, the place he called Burgerham. And being there, he was sharing space with other young children during presbytery meeting. Do you know how boring it is to be in a presbytery meeting? And you know how boring it is to be as a child in a presbytery meeting? The thing is that there was a group of youth having a special place for the children who were coming to the presbytery meeting. And the first thing they said to the children was, guess what? When we were kids, we were also coming to the presbytery meetings, and it was so boring. That's why we decided to have this space just for you to enjoy this time while your parents are in businesses. For me, that was, what a sense of justice. Then my son was playing with some girls there, and at the end of the day, Elias, I promised Elias, if you behave well, we can go to Target. You know how this goes, right? After dinner, eating with our friends, he said, Dad, when we go to Target, I need to buy something for Alana, his sister, for Felipe, his sister, and for my new friends, because I don't want to let them out. For me, that was like, oh my goodness. Those are the best sermons in life. And as soon as we get to Target, I'm not lying. We spent over 2 hours. After he picked his toy, what he wanted, looking for something for each individual person in order to give the present to those because they didn't want them to feel left out. That's the sense of justice when we talk about God. Women at that time were not welcome to come to the judge office. However, and this is something that amazes me, let's say that the judge office was at that time a male-man thing, right? It means that as men, who's the guy in authority? The judge. But the judge was a person who didn't fear God, first of all. And it looks like that was the common rule. And he didn't respect what? People. Can you imagine having a judge that way? Well, let me tell you, the judges of the world are that way. People who don't fear God and don't respect people. Because everybody without God won't be able to understand the real concept of justice. So it is in the midst of this context, a male context, where a woman showed up every single time the court was open. And as soon as the door was open and the judge saw that woman coming in, he was, oh my goodness, the troublemaker again. This is the thing we ignore about culture. In the scripture, many times there are four different kinds of cultures expressed. One is the honor-shame culture. Honor and shame is something that is not inherited, part of the person. It's something given by the society. Honor is given by society. Shame is given by society. Today, we are living in a world that said, you have honor, what a shame you are, right? The other part of cultural aspect of this world is that there is the innocence guilt. Innocence guilt is that is the legal system where people are just so focused on the law that they don't care about people. The important thing is to follow what? The rules. If you do it, you are innocent. If you are not doing it, you are guilty, period. The other aspect of the culture is the purity and pollution. Purity, if you follow all the rituals you are called to follow, that's justice. But if you don't follow the rituals we do, that's pollution, contamination. You are not welcome. Fuchi fo. It's a colonial expression to see. And the fourth one is power and fear. Those in power are good in shaming people, are good in saying what's right, what's wrong, but there is also fear. And if you are in a status that is lower, you will be always looking everybody like that. And sometimes you won't feel enough to look this way, but to look to the floor, because you're not worthy. That's the culture of Scripture, and when I see the world today, it has not changed. The cool thing is that if a woman shows up at the court, the only person in a room who is allowed to talk directly to the judge and say, "Hey, grant me justice," the way I just said, could be only a woman. If a man says that to a judge who is also a man, the judge will say, "Hey, let's kill him." But in the society of the time, if a woman does it, nobody will touch that woman. And that's the thing that amazes me. Because when you see the widow in the Bible, first of all, it depends on the version, it appears more than 100 times in Scripture, the word widow. And behind the word widow, there are other characters, the orphans and the foreigners, the immigrants. And all of those have a different status and not necessarily are welcome. And in this context, the woman is the only one who can say these kind of things. And I said, it doesn't make sense. In a culture where everybody is just men, a male, a woman can say these kind of things, and the reality is yes. And this is why. Because in the Old Testament, a woman who was a widow could not be just left out. Because a widow always represented an innocent person, a powerless and an oppressed person. And God, more than once, if you were part of the circle, you had to understand that you were called to care for them. But the majority of the chosen ones were not paying attention to them. Today, we are the ones called to care for those who are struggling, who are suffering, and who are left out. We need to be like Elias. Think of those who are left out and try to find something for them in order to bring justice. The problem with the judge is that he never cared for God nor for people. And the problem with the widow is that the widow won't stop asking for justice until justice is granted. My brothers and sisters, this is the dilemma. When I was observing the text, I noticed that the text was related to praying. How to pray to God. Many times we say that God listens to those who are worthy and those who are good. God listens to the chosen ones. And sometimes you don't have to pray many times. If you pray once, only once, and God hears you, that's enough. Because God will be taking care of those businesses. Don't worry. Don't be concerned. But what about those who are always struggling because life is not fair? What of those who are always crying to God, asking for answers, and they have not found anyone? If this is talking about praying, it is not that easy to say, "Go in peace, prayers and thoughts." That's what we said today. The issue with justice is when we see justice and injustice in the world today, the question is, when is injustice ending? So we can cease praying for justice. And the answer is, it is one of those prayers with no ending. Praying for justice is one of those with no ending. Until justice is granted, we cannot stop praying for justice. The beautiful aspect of this is when the judge takes a moment by himself and says to himself, "Though I don't fear God and I don't respect people, in other ways, I'm shameless. Don't tell me what to say and what to do." This person had to find himself at the moment that even though I don't fear God and I don't respect people, I will grant it this person justice. But look at to the motivations. The motivations were not the best ones. So she can stop bothering and coming to the judge office to tell me what to do. I'm worked out of that. I'm tired of that. And I'll do it because of that. This is the expression of Jesus to say, if this unworthy judge, if this shameless judge, if this who didn't fear God or fear and respect people was able to grant justice to a widow who was suffering oppression, suffering because of many struggles, because there was no justice, how much God? Sorry for yelling, but that's the Colombian way. How much God? And that's the problem today. Sometimes we just pray, oh God, do something with this country. And we leave it that way. That's your business. When you pray for justice, you are acting for justice. The widow was constantly where? At the office of justice. How do we call those people? Activists. Those in front of us, hey, hey, hey. Yes, you said those are the activists. But if you post many things on Facebook, you're also an activist. Believe me. Yes. Sometimes we call these people activists because they are looking for justice. Crazy people. They don't know what they're asking for. Blah, 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 blah. My friends, we are constantly looking for justice according to God's will or not. Seek first what? And what? And justice. And all the other things what will come. So one of the aspects we are called to do and to fulfill today is to recognize that in terms and matter of justice, we cannot stop because many things have been denied to justice. Many things in this world, because of ungodly people, have been denied to those who are seeking for justice. For some reasons, but for many reasons, we have people who are ungodly people serving in positions where they are the ones supposed to grant the justice. And we, the chosen ones of God, are remaining in silence. God, Jesus has the question, and it is a rhetorical question. Will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you. 15 minutes gone. Extra time. I'll tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them, and yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? It is a rhetorical question. The problem there, it is the aspect of being chosen and the misunderstanding of being chosen. I'm chosen. I don't care about you. I'm in good relationship with God. I don't care about you. Many people see being chosen as something to be feel or to feel proud of. That's it. But chosen is different when we talk about God. When I was a kid, I wanted to be in the soccer team. Have you been in that experience? When the two captains come in front and they start picking people. You come to my team. Hey, you come to me. And I was there waiting to be called. And I was not called. So they said, well, Johan, as soon as one scores, you go to the other team. Be chosen in this world is different by being chosen by God. Being chosen by this world is that you get the position. If you get the position, somebody is not. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's not the way with God. Being chosen according to the world is that you're chosen and somebody is left out. Being chosen according to God's will and God's purpose is that God has chosen to love all of us, regardless, from the beginning. And if we are chosen, we are chosen because now we are called to bring God's love and justice to others in order to let them understand and know that they are also loved. And they are also are granted mercy. And they can join the family. Because God doesn't want anybody to perish, but to have life in their spirit, in his spirit, and in God's spirit. Being chosen by God has responsibilities that are beyond just being here, having a nice time, and enjoy to be part of the body of Christ. Being chosen is to cry out with those who have not been granted in terms of justice. It is be with those who are suffering and struggling because they feel that they don't fit and belong to anything. That's the call for us, not only as Cumberland Presbyterians, as Christians, that's the call for those who have been chosen by God. And because of that, my brothers and sisters, it makes sense that the question at the end, it is not a question, but an answer. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? I will remove the question mark and put an exclamation point saying, yes, that's the responsibility we have as children of God. We are called to have faith in Jesus Christ. We are called to have faith that justice will be granted. We are called to have faith and do what we are called to do in order to bring justice to this world. Rhetorical questions have obvious answers. And that's what Jesus is bringing to us. If you have faith, if you consider yourself a chosen one, if we have faith and we have been chosen by God, we are those who are called to cry for justice. We are those who are called to be with those who are crying day and night for justice. I could name people, but you know people in your heart. I know people in my heart. I see realities all the time. Working with immigrants, working with others. At the end, the answer is, if you want to pray, you have to step out and do what you have to do. Let us come to the Lord in prayer. You said that you are the protector of those who are struggling. You are the God who doesn't accept a bribe. You are the one who sees everyone with love, mercy, and compassion, slow in anger, but fast in mercy. For that reason, you are the right judge. And even though we are sinners, oh God, we can still come before your presence. And not because of us, but because of your love, your justice, and your mercy. And because you are the one who is constantly choosing loving us over retribution for our actions, over treating us with disrespect, over treating us with dishonor. The contrary, O God, you are always trying to restore the honor of all human beings in the image of Jesus Christ. And as your children, as your chosen ones, we ask you, O Lord, to grant us the mercy to do justice and to love you and walk humbly with you. Amen.